Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Into the 3 o'clock hour we go on Karen Reed Verdict Watch, or as we like to call it, the South Shore Dysfunctional Retrial of the Century. Mego, should we whip around the room before we grab a call and give everyone our three-point stances? How do we think things will go when the verdict is shared?
Wait, you want three-point stances on the Karen Reed verdict?
No,
just when,
no,
just
no.
When today was chaotic enough.
I was like, what?
No.
We're going to
grab a call. We're
going to.
The lines are loaded. No, give me your stance. Compare yourself to a compare Karen Reed to a professional athlete, please.
I know a nest of vipers when I see one.
Yeah, exactly. No, I wanted to everyone to just like say guilty and not get like just weigh in.
What I think is going to happen, or what
happened?
I think she's going to be found not guilty.
Not guilty. Okay, Stiz.
Guilty.
Wow, Dan.
Oh, this is tough. Guilty, but not of the worst charges.
I say not guilty. I think in the end, just not enough evidence. And no matter what. People aren't going to be happy. Everyone will be talking. There'll be riots in the streets, mass hysteria.
Well, thank God we got it on the record today, guys.
Yep. Well, just saying, just at least we're out there. Half our show thinks not guilty. Half our show thinks guilty. That's why this is the spot that Glenn Wardway used to hold down so valiantly here on WEEI. All right, let's grab one quick call and then on with the three-point stances we go. Oh, boy. Talk about somebody who just lives and dies with the Red Sox. And everything on the Red Sox radio network. David in Florida. Are you all up in your Fenway fields today, buddy?
Good afternoon. What a wonderful, exciting day, huh?
I smell sarcasm, David.
Absolutely, just a little bit. But, you know, in all seriousness, there's two things. First of all, like you were alluding to earlier, yes. Mago, especially you, they got very little in return. Very little in return, which just, again, makes this sound like it's a cost-cutting measure. And second of all, why now? There's no urgency. They could have waited. They could have shopped them around and got related to it. That's the first thing. They could have got presumably much more in return for him. So, I mean, you wonder if, just like with Chaim Bloom was facing an ultimatum about Mookie, if Henry gave Brezzo an ultimatum too, and this is just the whole thing stinks to the high heavens.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, appreciate the call, David. I'm sorry. I feel like David actually David's mood and feelings mirror that of many in Red Sox Nation right now, that it stinks to high heavens, the idea that this could be a cost-cutting move with your best hitter at a time when the team finally seemed to be playing its best baseball. Mego, no matter what the motive or who signed off on it or what the return was, unless, of course, it was going to be somebody massively consequential for the bullpen, rotation, or lineup, people aren't going to, just fans aren't going to be happy about it. They will, as they have all day, they're going to voice their displeasure.
Well, immediately after the Mookie Betts trade and then Chaim Bloom's tenure here, a lot of it like went back to, was Chaim Bloom forced to do this? This was the first thing that he had to do when he took on the job. And that went back to John Henry. Will it be the same case here with Rafael Devers? That's interesting to me because, again, there's such a direct thread from the meeting that they had on May 9th in Kansas City to where we sit today. And if you're pointing fingers, I think a lot of people are going to point fingers at Craig Breslow. But again, when ownership steps in and gets involved in a physical sense flying out to Kansas City, I think you have to go all the way to the top.
If we didn't see him playing defense after that trip by John Henry to, you know, pound the table and wring his hands and say, you know, you're going to do what you're told. And Devers said no. We should have known this was coming. I still just think the fact that it happened in the middle of June, right after the sweep of the Yankees, is probably what has left people's heads spinning and they're all still trying to make sense of it. And speaking of helping you try to make some sense of it. No, we're not putting in any stents. We're trying to make sense of it, everybody. Boy, I got out over my skis on that one. Dan, hit the 3-point stance. Let's go.
19!
Yeah, there you go!
What's that?
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, it is time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, and it is brought to you, as always, by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you had the gall to trade Rafael Devers, you got to get Glassman. And you can do that by calling all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have two hosts and two producers, or the jury for the Karen Reed trial, apparently, each of which will present their stance on the biggest story in Boston sports this year and of the last few years, probably. So we're working Stiz and myself into this. Everybody will get 60 seconds to present their unique stance on the Rafael Devers trade and where the Red Sox stand right now. Our order is Nick Fitzy Stevens, then Megan Onilini, then myself, Dan Ball, and then Stiz. Fitzy will lead us off. Are you ready?
Man, 4 3-point stances for the price of three in this economy?
Yep.
Oh, I love it. Man, lucky listenership. All right, I'll go first. I don't mind batting leadoff.
Perfect. Well, your 60 seconds in your leadoff spot. Begin right now.
Stanley, my music, please.
So long, farewell, I'll be just saying adieu.
Adieu, adieu, to you and you and you.
That's right. Only one host on WEEI would be willing to use the Sound of Music to articulate their feelings about the departure of the biggest and best hitter in the lineup and for the last several years. Rafael Devers, so long, farewell, avidal sane, goodbye. I am done with the drama. I am done with your lousy attitude. I am done with the petulance. I am done with the whining. I'm done with the laughing when everyone else thinks you should be focusing and bearing down and being gritty. I am done with the selfishness. I am done with the lack of a team-first approach. You have a good baseball club. Everyone has told you. Breslow, Cora, the media. Expectations are high, just like the salary that you get paid. And for you not to be able to be a team-first guy and want to do your own thing, well, guess what? Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I am thrilled this is over.
Okay, there you go, and with a musical accompaniment as well, which is always a nice flair. So, well, as somebody who
doesn't love a little Sound of Music every
that's
now and
fair, I guess. Yeah,
I love me some Captain Von Trapp.
I did not mix in any Sound of Music today. If I was filling the role of Fitzy, I wish I knew, and I would have done that. But in lieu of that, we will move on. We'll put Fitzy as always. Mego, are you ready?
Yes, I'm always nervous. I don't like this, but I'll do it.
How can you be nervous? You do it so well.
Stresses me out. I don't like timed things. Go ahead.
All right, 60 seconds. Here we go.
Okay, this is going to sound crazy, but I think this Devers trade feels worse than the Mookie Betts trade. And I'm not saying that Devers is better or has a brighter future than Mookie Betts does or did when you traded him, because those two attributes definitely belong to Mookie Betts. What I'll say is that when you traded Betts, he was on an expiring contract. He didn't have 8 years left of a contract that he was only 2 years into. And you at least had some goodwill with the team 18 months removed from a championship, saying, let's just see where this goes. Let's exercise patience. This has been a pretty good ownership group. I think now that you are 7 years removed and you decimated the core of that World Series championship roster, the Red Sox have lost all their goodwill, and you decimated it for pennies on the dollar, and you told fans for years, just wait for the kids to come up through the minor league system. And now that we sit here and the kids are here and you sweep the Yankees and you win 3 series straight in your own division and it looks like you have some momentum, you turn and do this and you make the team worse in the short term again. I just don't understand. Bless anybody who has patience for rooting for this team right now.
Bless him.
Co-sign, by the way, on the bets. I saw a lot, Mego, of the bets debate going on Twitter because, you know, you got to bring up some of your other painful memories. And it seemed like, at least from my perspective, he wanted to go to free agency, expiring contract. Like, it just, that one was kind of done on both sides. This was largely your own doing.
Well, Devers didn't want to be here.
Right.
But mm-hmm. you got him to the point of not wanting to be here. And I don't want to like both sides it because Devers was far and away not my favorite player. And I agree with a lot of your sentiments, Fitzy, but it's like, I don't think that you can have the benefit of the doubt anymore after what you've done over the last 7 years. And you keep telling fans to keep waiting and keep waiting and keep waiting. And then you present this season like it's going to be the start of something. And then you turn and do this.
It doesn't seem like the best timing. And yes, there is a degree of you may have just cut off your nose to spite your baseball team. I get that part. That's why the timing is so curious. And I want to continue to explore it in and amongst ourselves and with our callers throughout the remainder of the show. And I'm sure our candle carry it right on through until they get to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. I'm sorry, but when Rafael Devers comes out and says, I'm willing to play anywhere, including first base for the San Francisco Giants, but wouldn't do it here to a team, regardless of why they awarded him a $313 million deal, F you, get lost. Now they can't set run a sale at Fenway or on Fanatics of his jersey quick enough. Be gone. Fine. I hope that, you know what? Go Toro. You're talking to the world's biggest Romy Gonzalez fan over here now. This guy stinks.
Romy, your homie, perhaps?
Romy, my homie.
McDonough was giving it to Will Fleming over that particular
game. It was great.
This weekend.
Oh, another Scoro by Toro. I'm here for all the broadcast booth puns. By the way, great job. It shouldn't be lost in this. We're not going to have much time today, Mego, to talk about what a great series it was over the weekend. They gave up 4 runs total, an ERA of 1.33 against the New York freaking Yankees. Friday night's game was an instant classic. They did so many things right, and shout out Fleming and McDonough in the booth. Just chef's kiss. Well done, boys.
Unbelievable. Romy, Will's homie, is hitting this with runners in scoring because it's just was dying laughing. Anyways, all right, on we trudge. You're in 3-point stance. Stiz, may I have 60 seconds, please?
Dan, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, so I hate everything about this. I'm with everybody in that. As much as Rafael Devers was frustrating to watch, the numbers speak for themselves. I'm really sad that we had to get to this point. But when mm-hmm. we talk about this Rafael Devers trade, the biggest determinant for me still hasn't come yet. It's the $250 million in change that is now available to the Red Sox on their payroll that we don't know how it's going to be spent. What worries me is that it's not going to be spent at all, and the small market mindset of the Red Sox that we saw in the post-2021 era is going to once again befall this team. But there are ways that you can make this work with the money that you now have available to try to soften the blow on a deal for a guy who didn't really seem to want to be a part of your team anymore. Internally, I'd love to see an Alex Bregman long-term contract if you can get it done, and let's get Roman Anthony on a Christian Campbell type deal, probably a bit more rich. But internally, there are things that you can do. Externally, in free agency this upcoming year, you can bolster your pitching. We know there's a dire need for a number two starter behind Garrett Crochet, Dylan Cease, Zach Gallen, among the names. So this is a trade that hurts. It's a trade that's painful, and you didn't get a lot back for Rafael Devers. But the money that you now have available, if you're still serious about competing, you can use it for some good in the future.
Yeah, Dan, that's a great spin. There are people like Andy Hart who's away on vacation, and he's going to come back and find out, like, wait, they traded Devers? Did we get Mason Miller? Like, no, you did not. You didn't, because a lot of teams, I don't think, they probably had questions about his attitude, and they certainly didn't want to commit $254 million. If, you know, we have more calls lined up, Mego, talking about Liverpool and the Fenway Sports Group, that this was a reallocation of internal funds once they realized they were only going to get, they would get decent production, but more frustration out of Devers than he was worth. So obviously fans are going in a million different directions over this. But if the Red Sox make a move this summer, for all we know, more guys, I've seen people saying online that Duran could be on the block and other players may divest themselves of. Or do they trade for a power right-handed bat, Mego, which the team desperately needs?
Yeah, spend some money there. I don't know. Like, I don't, they're sitting here, and I know Shaughnessy tweeted this out before, but they're 19th in payroll in MLB right now. I just don't really care if John Henry is freeing up more money for this. Like, they can decide to spend or not spend. It's not like they were completely hamstrung here and they're in some kind of like NBA second apron hell or something. Like, I understand that people, like, I think that's a valid point, Dan, and I understand that people are looking for the bright sides of this and with a player who didn't want to be here.
I'm trying my damn hardest to find,
like,
the bright side.
I totally get that. It's just, I've heard it too many times over the last several years. Just wait. Just wait for what they're going to do next. Just wait for what they're going to do next. Just
fireworks,
wait until Blank
remember,
comes
right?
up.
Didn't we hear that?
Full throttle. I don't understand how anybody doesn't look at that just a little bit cynically. And I don't like being a cynical person. But on a day like today, when this news comes out last night after the weekend that you had and the week that you had, I'm just not taking the bait. I'm not. That's crazy to me.
All right. Well, she's not taking the bait, Dan. But I do believe we do... To engage the listeners, let's give them a little bit more bait. I think we have one more three-point stance.
Well, we have the ultimate fan stance that we'll be providing here to wrap up our three-point stance, and then we'll get to the many calls that are still lined up on this topic. Stiz, are you ready?
Dan, I am ready.
Well, it's a bold day to wear a Red Sox jersey, but I'll give you 60 seconds anyways, and they start right now.
Well, Megan, I have no problem being cynical, and I'm not sure how much of a unique stance that I have, but I'm pissed, and I just wanted a chance to vent my frustration. So I'm sorry, Dylan and Linfield. You can spear me with the "don't cry because it's over, smiled because it happened." No, I'm pissed. This is horrible. Like, you know, yesterday I'm doing what most families in Massachusetts was doing. I was barbecuing with my family, arguing about Karen Reed and listening to the Red Sox on WEEI, and we swept the Yankees, and I was driving home yesterday, and I'm feeling good, and I'm like, man, I'm gonna wear my Red Sox jersey tomorrow. This, you know, we're back. The Red Sox are back, and then this news breaks, and it was like a gut punch, and I was like, this is absolutely horrible, and I feel bad for people that spent $250 on a Devers new City Connect jersey, you know, a few weeks ago, and then they're gonna bury a press conference tonight at 8 o'clock. You know when that press conference should have happened? Last night, an hour after the news. No, I'm pissed, and I'm Team Devers. They screwed Devers.
Yeah, they haven't exactly handled this. Well, when's the last time the Red Sox handled something with great PR and aplomb? When's the last time, Mego, the Red Sox won a trade and the fans all came out and said, amazing, so well handled. It feels like we were treated like it was in the best interest of both the ball club and your fan base that pays so much money to go to your bandbox of a ballpark.
I'm sure there's some obvious example that I'm missing, but it just feels like the recent past doesn't supply a lot of that.
They seem to win some of the smaller ones, your Verdugo for Weissert level trades, but anytime there's major money or major talent involved, it seems to be a
right.
debacle.
I remember 4 hours on that trade. That was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Mega, where were you when they got Garrett Whitlock, the Rule 5 hero from the Yankees?
Yeah,
I mean Narvaez.
And
they win the little
rotation.
Yeah, they win the little ones all the time. Yeah, that's true, Dan. But like, there hasn't been, save for the shine of St. Bregman this spring. Since they won the World Series in 2018, it's just been one bad move, one bad PR spin after another fan frustration, after another favorite player gets traded to or leaves via free agency and walks away from the organization with nothing to show for it.
I like when they started serving cocktails at Fenway Park. That was cool. That I felt like that was a good move by them. Especially now.
You're going to need those, yeah, for the remainder of this season.
They might want to start discounting the hot dogs and the 24-ounce cans.
That's
of
the
Sam
true
Adams
second
American
half
Light.
MVP are the cocktail dealers at Fenway
the
Park.
The discounted concessions. All right, so Dan, if you could, before we go to commercial break, come back and get a whole boatload of calls from the frustrated Fenway faithful. Could you just quickly recap our 4 3-point stances?
Well, yes, of course. Well, Nick Fitzy-Stevens led us off here on the 3-point stance on WEEI Afternoons. He's glad that Rafael Devers is gone. The headache is over. He has taken his metaphorical ibuprofen here on this Monday. Mego argues that it is worse than the Mookie Betts trade, and both bring out plenty of headaches. I brought up that the true poor nature of this trade will be determined by how the money that is now freed up will be spent, if it's spent at all, which, fair point, it's probably not. And Stiz wanted to vent, and I hope you felt like you got your therapy session out, my good friend.
No, not yet, but I'm gonna be pissed for a little while.
And that, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, is our 3-point stance for today.
Yeah, watch. When I'm back in studio tomorrow, the Red Sox will finally send me a City Connect jersey, and it'll be a Rafael Devers 11 as well. Did you guys see that video, by the way, this weekend of the dad who got one 5 minutes after the news broke?
Yeah, tough.
I didn't see that. Are we sure it was real? Was it staged?
It could have been AI. You can do a lot of things with that.
Not even AI, but, you know, like people do stage prank videos.
Oh, yeah. And it's always like, oh, that's the moment that guy decided to smash his flat screen that he probably was going to take down for a new one.
I saw a video where dads didn't believe it, where the family told the dads what was going on and they were, get out of here. And I think that was most people's reaction. Like, get out. No way.
Fitzy, would you rather have a now vintage Rafael Devers City Connect jersey or none at all?
None at all.
Okay.
I'm all set.
Okay.
I am completely 100% all set. No need. Thank you very much. 617-779-7937. Those were our three-point stances in the 3 o'clock hour. Agree or disagree with our spins, takes, passions, and perspective? Go ahead and give us a call. We will continue breaking down the how, the why, and the everything surrounding this stunning move, the Red Sox sending Rafael Devers on Father's Day to the San Francisco Giants for four guys none of us done ever heard of before. We'll get back to all that and so much more coming up. But first, let's catch you up on everything else trending in the wide world of sports with Dan Ball.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, look, Rafi is one of the best left-handed hitters, if not the best left-handed hitter in the league, and just has been elite, and we need him to continue performing at the highest possible level. Good to see him taking ground balls, and we know that, you know, when the time is right, you know, if we need him, he'll be there. But yeah, we're focused on winning games and keep him raking in that lineup, and we should be just okay.
That's president of the old Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, just from last week, talking about his excitement over Rafael Devers' commitment to the Red Sox and his want to take some ground balls and be available to the team. To which I ask you, Mego, a question I asked Chris Cotillo, who said that money talks in most of these situations. Do you believe the Red Sox now have a credibility problem, given that I don't know if you can believe anything that comes from anyone's mouth, whether it's Craig Breslow, the aforementioned Sam Kennedy, and in some cases, like when he lied to my choppers over Garrett Crochet going out for a complete game when they knew they were going to limit him to 85 pitches. Again, I'm sure you can buy your way into trust, but at the same time, aren't you just a little bit concerned people are going to be like, no, this team traded Devers and they traded Mookie and they traded Sale and they make terrible deals and they lie to your face. And so, no, I'm not going to trust them. I'm not going to sign there.
Well, from a player's perspective, like I would have to assume that they see it as a business, so they kind of know the commodity side of it, and that they're kind of like at the mercy of the whims of what ownership wants to do, and that's kind of universal. I think, though, the credibility issue is more with their own fans and with the media. Look, the media is going to be tough on you and hold your feet to the fire for the most part anyway, and fans might look at that and say, it's so negative, and they hate the team, and they want the team to lose. They're just trying to figure out what's actually going on. And there's so much dysfunction in this particular chapter of the Red Sox that I think the credibility is strained to the point where now even a big part of the fan base is looking at it and going, well, what does this mean for this team this year? And what does this mean for your dedication to the major league product? To me, that's the biggest thing, is can you feel confident as a fan that they're invested in the major league product? Or are they just wanting to bring up young guys through the farm system and go through these different GMs who will use their hyper Yale-powered analytical brains to try to get the most for less and maybe get you around a wild card spot? Because I think that is fine in Tampa. That'd be very happily received at this point in Baltimore. But Boston's different. And there's a reason for that. And there's a history around that. And so if you're asking a credibility problem, I think that's where it comes from. I think Cotillo is right. players are going to sign where the money is and where the opportunity is. But for the rest of us, we look at it and we go, where's the rudder with this franchise?
It's a great question. By the way, as we try to discover the rudder for this franchise and divine as much truth from fiction and all the nonsense and the stories, and my God, there are so many different perspectives from our own Will Fleming to David Ortiz that we want to share and beyond. We're very fortunate to have Lou Merlone joining the show today. That's right. Lou, sweet Lou, the mayor of Framingham. Mr. Utility will be joining us at 4:30 today to share some of what he has learned about Rafael Devers and his perspective on what the Sox got back, why it had to happen now, and so much more. Back to the calls we go. Line 5, Justin is down in Brockton. What's up, Justin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate
Pleasure.
It. Pleasure. I wanted to give a shout-out to Will and Lou, actually, because if you want to believe anything that comes out of anyone's mouth, 2 weeks ago, they were on the Greg Hill show, and they mentioned two big things that happened. And Roman Anthony's coming up, and that he didn't say the other one. So this was it. They definitely already knew about this. And the whole ground balls thing was smoke and mirrors. This was a corporate move. Rafi is what you would call insubordinate in any other corporation. He would have got fired on the spot. The Patriots would have got rid of him faster. And if you want to add any positivity in this about the Sox going up in smoke, all I see is smoke signals because the Hot Sox are back, Rafi, Devers, or not.
And by the way, it's going to happen in the next week or so. And by the way, other changes that are dramatic are going to happen.
Ooh, what do you got?
Are you promising something again?
What's he doing?
Why is he doing?
And then when he doesn't, and when it doesn't come to fruition, and I criticize
and it's all
him,
my fault.
He F-bombs me.
There might be a little delay, but I Lou can corroborate this. Things are going to change here. They are. Might be 5, 7, 10 days behind schedule, but I think things are happening on a number of levels. And I think the way they play dictates how quickly those things happen, both good and bad.
How about that? As delivered from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, our very own Cassandra, if you Will Fleming from the Red Sox broadcast, saying to Andy Hart and Big Ted Johnson that things are going to happen, things are going to change. And then, of course, he follows that up this morning, Mego, with his own tweet from at Will Fleming. It's two M's on that one, so you know it's him. I'm sure the apologies will start pouring in from everyone who clowned me for saying dramatic changes were coming. Double laughing tin to tears emoji. How about that? Huh?
I wouldn't hold your breath on that, Will. Respectfully.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. So wait,
are you kidding me?
And everyone is staring at his mom. I can't believe that. Wow, good on you, Will. How about that? Teasing that out nicely. We'll have to follow up with Lou on that one. What'd you think about that last caller who said that he understands all of this and actually feels like this is for the benefit of the Red Sox right now, removing the bad attitude, Mego?
I get that part of it. I just, to me, this is kind of the comparison I was trying to make with the Mookie trade. People were outraged by the Mookie trade because he's a better player than Devers is, and he was more beloved. Like, everybody loved Mookie, and they wanted him to be here forever. But at the same time, at that time, you were 18 months removed from a World Series, and people could look at this situation, I think, in a more level-headed manner. I just don't have the patience for this franchise anymore. So God bless you if you can look at the situation and say, well, look at all the money this opens up and look at your flexibility. And I agree that he was a pain in the rear end for the last 4 months. I agree with all of that. I just have such low confidence in what this spells out for the major league team.
Let's jump up to line 2, Nathan in Ipswich. How are you, Nathan?
Nathan dropped as soon as we took him.
Oh,
scared of the stage. Scared of the spotlight.
That's all right. We got
scared when he saw Arcand up there this weekend going for his clams.
What did he sound like when he was doing that, Nick?
Look at the size of this line. I don't know if you guys want to wait in this one right now. This is too much. 617-779. Honey, give me a lobster roll, would you, damn it?
All right, fine. We'll replace Nathan with Yankee Frank calling in from Providence. Okay, Yankee Frank, have your fun, guy.
All right, listen, I'm not here to have fun. I'm here to just talk about, I don't understand why you think that was a good deal, if that was a good trade. You're saying, oh, you got rid of a bad guy. Was he a bad guy? I mean, Manny was way more of a distraction. You want two World Series with him. The Yankees, Reggie Jackson fought his manager in the dugout during a live televised game. Fought with some players in the locker room. They won back-to-back World Series. Tell me how this is good. You got four guys who even in their hometowns, people don't know who they are. That was such a horrible deal. Listen, if you thought he was a bad guy, you could have got a lot better. That's crazy. And as a Yankee fan, I want to see the Red Sox competing with the Yankees for the division every year. That would be my dream. But you know what happened? Now, you guys were right there. If Roman Anthony is the guy they think he is, and a lot of people think he is, he could have popped off the rest of the season with Devers. You could have a wild card. Guess what? That's over. Now, next year, you're not going to get the wild card. Now you got to hope you get a wild card in 2027. Unbelievable. I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm pissed. And I can't believe that. Actually, Mego, you know what's going on. The guy with you, I don't even know his name, but he thinks it's a good idea. He's probably the same guy who thinks when players pick home runs and wear jewelry, it's disrespectful. You got to put fun into the game.
Actually, thank you, Frank. I appreciate
Nailed
the
it.
Call. I enjoy the jewelry. I love pimp. Are you kidding me? You can't have. I'm with Rich Keefe. You can't flip your bat enough. No, I love the pomp. I love the flash. I love the pop. I love all that jazz that goes into it. I just think that at this point now, if Rafael Devers was going to continue to be a bag of sour grapes, then, okay, time to move on.
Fitzy, I just don't like acting like that is happening in a vacuum. You know, that's all I'm saying. I agree totally. I think he's a pain in the butt, and I don't think that he was a good teammate, and he's never been the leader that they've asked him to be for years since Xander Bogaerts walked. They have been asking him to step into a position where he could lead the clubhouse, and he just wasn't that guy. And I think that's tough to be paying someone $313 million when you're in that position and you can't do that. At the same time, we can't ignore what happened in the offseason. Sean McAdam of Mass Life had a report that that front office lied to him about whether or not they were actually pursuing Alex Bregman. They said, that's just media fodder. That's just gossip. And then they went and did it. Like, that's malpractice.
Yeah, see, that's why I wonder if the credibility issue is going to be legitimate going forward as well. All right, 617-779-7937 is your number. Nate's line, it's been filled. Yankee Frank's line, that's been filled. But you know what? We'll find a way to squeeze all of you guys in before 6 o'clock,
at which point we'll get to Arcan's show and then the whole preamble of the Red Sox pregame and everything.
And when we come back, David Ortiz was not initially called in to speak to Rafael Devers, but at one point, he did connect with his fellow Dominican, and it looked like he had maybe been able to find a way to smooth things over. Well, now that Devers has behaved the way he did and has been traded away from the Red Sox, David Ortiz has spoken, and let me tell you, he is not happy with how things went. We'll share those quotes and get your reaction right here with Fitzy, Ballgame, Mego, and everyone on WEEI Afternoons.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Before this trade broke, I got a message about it, a couple of messages being like, something's about to go down, there's a little bit of commotion going on, and then I hear it's about Rafi, and I'm like, well, this type of stuff probably gets talked about behind the scenes all the time, so I didn't put a ton of stock in it to coming to fruition. So then we get like the breaking news out of nowhere. We were kind of on high alert because then I got told, you know, there's a very high chance this is going down. We're like, they're not going to trade Rafi. They just swept the Yankees. Rafi just homered today. They just got back over 500. You've been trying to salvage the season. You finally get there and then you trade Rafael Devers. Something to me that we're not hearing the whole story here.
That's Mr. Red Sox everywhere. The unofficial king of Red Sox Nation, Jared Carabas, on the Major League Baseball Network. Of course, he of the Underdog Fantasy Network as well. He wasn't happy about it, and I don't even know if he was the biggest Rafael Devers fan. I don't think he loved the way that Devers had handled everything as well. But people, Mego, it seems all over town. This person heard one thing. Will Fleming intimated to us 2 weeks ago something was going down in a week or two. Chris Cotillo said there were rumblings of it as well. So this was always brewing, percolating, and people were preparing for it. I still just think, though, it's a pretty seismic move with a superstar of his stature and payroll. And when it happens, when it does, after a sweep of the Yankees on Father's Day out of the blue and the return is what it is, I think that's why everyone is still just sort of like, you know, wafting away clouds and trying to sift through the mess of it all, just wondering exactly how it all came to be.
The most chaotic part of the whole situation for me personally was Jonathan Papelbon tweeting out 5 minutes after all the insiders like Jeff Passan broke the news, guys, Rafi's not getting traded. And I'm like, wait, what? Is there some enormous, you know, like joke going on here that somebody punked all these insiders? And then like 20 minutes later, Pap logs back on and he's like, my bad, guys, you can freak out. Okay. Sometimes if you don't have the full
story, stand down, everyone.
If you don't have the full story, you don't need to chime in right away. And I do think there's something too. Do we have the full story? It's very intriguing to me to talk to guys like Chris Cotillo and other reporters and hear what it was like in the clubhouse leading up to it, that it had gotten to be an awkward place. And that's why I'm excited to talk to Lou Marlone in like a half hour, because he was on the plane yesterday, said it was a weird flight. And I think he'll give us some good indications as to some of the other stuff around this.
Yeah. Once again, the great Lou Marlone will be joining us live at 4:30 with some of his intel perspective and analysis on the Rafael Devers deal, why it had to happen now, and so much more. So set your alarms, get ready, 4:30, Lou Marlone here on WEEI Afternoons. I want to get to that David Ortiz quote on Rafael Devers. Plus, there's been some talk and some rumbling about the Red Sox not being done, Mego, as per what Dan Ball was talking about in his three-point stance. Who could the Red Sox possibly go after now that they have all this money on their hands? Or, as some callers have said, could that money just be used by Fenway Sports Group for Liverpool and some of John Henry's other favorite sporting pursuits? Like line one, Alex in Connecticut. Hello, Alex.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the call. That's exactly where that money is going. And they've been spending it last week, and they plan on spending some more of it this week. Well, they've been giving out, you know, these 6- and 8-year contracts for $50 and $60 million. And they never signed Anthony, by the way. They otherwise he would have been up. Roman Anthony doesn't even, you know, he's missed Super 2 status now. So there they got some more money they saved. But last week they signed a player out of Germany named Wirtz in Liverpool. They paid him now there's two things. I don't know if you understand, you know, how soccer works. You have to pay a transfer fee to the team that you're taking the player from. That's a compensation. Mm-hmm. It's a one-time fee. They signed a record billion, 116 pounds. That's about $150 million. And they're paying that guy's salary of about 12 to 15 million a week. This week, they're looking to sign for 100 million pounds, $135 million, another player by the name of Anthony Gordon from Newcastle. So they've spent $250 million within already 10 days. Now, but having to do with, you know, with Devers, at least if he's going to train him to San Fran, why didn't they try to get Bryce Eldridge, who's like a number 10 prospect? He's their number one prospect in their system, and he's number 10, you know, in the country.
Thank you very much for the call, Alex. I'll tell you exactly why, Mego. Tell me if you agree. They absolutely should. They should have gotten some both major league contributors and some prospects to stock up the farm, which has been plentiful and stocked, that they have been taking from in recent week, because they were just seemingly content to get rid of the salary. Now you've got people like Alex and several other callers since the start of the show that believe that they basically just wanted to, his attitude stinks, but also someone wants to take his $254 million off our hands. That's fine. You want to give us a couple players? That's fine. We'll take them. But they didn't get anybody of consequence, so it really does seem like a salary dump.
It does mostly seem like a salary dump. And I know there's people out there who are listening and probably going, it's just too conspiracy-minded to say they essentially sold Rafael Devers and his contract to a team that would eat it so that they can go pay players for Liverpool. I wouldn't go so far to say that it's like one traded for the other, essentially, within their own portfolio. But I do think it's fair to look at the Red Sox now and the way that ownership handles them and say, it doesn't really seem like they care about the team. It doesn't seem like they care about the team winning in the same way that they used to 20 years ago. I don't know how you look at the situation and you don't feel that way. Maybe you don't think that they're necessarily a team that's being spent less on than other teams in the portfolio, but they certainly just feel like another budget item in the portfolio.
617-779-7937. If you want to jump in with your conspiracy take, your rationale for the trade, your frustration like our own Stanley Stiz Grimy Bruno, it's all welcome here on the table halfway through the show. The third hour coming up will feature 4:30 Lou Merlone. You're not going to want to go anywhere. Plus, we'll get to those David Ortiz quotes on Rafael Devers and so much more. It's Stiz, it's Danny Ballgame, it's Mego, it's Fitzy, and you here on WEEI Afternoons.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.